Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 20 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Derek Anser from Rensburg. We'll touch on that BHP Group update. I also want to touch on Alviva. I know it's a stock that Derek's watched for a long time. An offer came out, I think it was 30 June, 25 rand to delist it. I mean, is it a fair value? I suppose that almost is moot in a sense. Andrew Ditburner from Old Mutual Wealth, talking data around bear markets. How long do they last? How bad do they get? Where are we in that process? He's got stuff going back 95 years. And then Wendy Myers from PSG Wealth, talking sectors that manage better under inflation versus those that perhaps have a tougher time. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. City of Joburg misunderstands Property Rates Act. This according to Advertech. They are challenging after a 10x increase of their rates, and they're taking it to court. Business Day, judge orders fast-track trial in October for Twitter and Elon Musk. This is the Chancery Court in Delaware. It's not a traditional court. It's very different to normal processes. October, I suppose that is relatively fast track. I know Musk wants to kick it into next year. I think Twitter wants it next week, so I suppose that's middle of the road. Morning markets, US green. In fact, everything seems to be green. S&P up 2.75% last night. NASDAQ just over 3% higher. In Asia, Sydney up 1.8%. Tokyo almost 2.5% on the up. Gold, $1,727. Brent, $107.16 a barrel. Platinum, $869 an ounce. And palladium, $1,899. Rand, $17.10. Top 40 opening call, 320 points to the upside. That's just over 0.5%. That is 10 cent trades up 2.3% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Derek Janser from Rensburg from Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the early morning. We saw BHP Group bring out a production update for yesterday. And generally, I mean, the production numbers weren't bad. But what they did warn on was two parts. Is slowing global growth, particularly from China, which is going to have impact on commodity prices, and inflationary pressures.
Yeah, morning, Simon. I think that's really what all eyes are on at the moment when it comes to these resource companies is really the, let's call it the somber tone looking forward, just given the fact that you've seen commodity prices come down and that demand-driven side of the sort of supply-demand curve is obviously waning somewhat. So I think that we are going to start to see a little bit of a somber approach by a lot of these resource companies. BHP is obviously pointing case. I think one needs to just be mindful of the fact that these commodity prices have factored in quite a significant slowdown from a world economic growth perspective. Obviously, China's slowdown doesn't bode well, but certainly think that China is probably quite well positioned at the moment to look at things like stimulus. You've seen decreases of reserve rate requirements, and I think they're just kind of biding their time and just kind of getting ready to stimulate further. So all in all, I think that there is quite bad news factored into the prices of the likes of an Anglo's and a Billiton, and for all these resource counters, they're going to continue to be volatile. I think all eyes are going to actually, in fact, be on these underlying commodity prices. Excuse me, copper price off quite sharply from its highs. So I think going forward, we're probably going to see these shares kind of range bound. At the moment, I would think that they're at the bottom of the range. I anticipate a little bit of a bounce in these shares from the current levels that we're at the moment, but certainly no sort of flyaway scenario where we start to see new highs being made, but obviously, as I said, sort of track that sort of plateaued sideways movement. That's
yeah,
my scenario.
Yeah, I take your point on that. They're pricing in a lot of bad news, and you know, maybe the news isn't all that bad. I suppose we keep an eye on the recession. I want to quickly touch on Oviva. It's a stock I know that me and you and I have talked about over the years. One you've liked, and a buyout offer at 25 Rand, which, I mean, you know, it's still only on a PE of about 5 at that price point. But I suppose this is the risk in the small cap space where some of the ones you love get taken out.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a stock, as you say, that we followed quite closely. Fortunately, held it from the lower sort of 5-6 Rand levels, and I've been patient with it. So it's obviously delivered some decent returns over the last couple of years. And I take your point in terms of quite a low multiple in terms of coming off the exchange. But in the private equity space, you know, I think it's a decent offer, to be honest. So I think it will be accepted. I think it will go through. It's obviously just got a bit of time value of money attached to it. And that's why it trades at about a 10% discount to that price. I think it's time to move on, take the profit, and we look for sort of greener pastures from here on out. I have been selling a few just to kind of mitigate some of the deal risk that's on the table at the moment, but certainly feel confident that it will go through at 25 Rand. It's been a good one for us, and we certainly think, time to move on, take it off the table. There's a lot of other stuff out there at the moment that looks interesting.
Yeah, I think the first time we spoke about it was about $6, or maybe $6.50. So absolutely done incredibly well. And of course, this price takes us back to 2013. So you know, folks can't be complaining. We can argue that 25 is a cheap price, but well, then the market should have bid it higher. Derek Gensler from Rensburg, Anchor Capital, appreciate the time. And our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter, chatting there with Derek about the BHP Group update. Is the run for commodity and commodity miners over? I mean, Derek seems to think they're probably at the bottom of the range. What do you think? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Andrew Ditburn, a Chief Investment Officer at Old Mutual Wealth Private Client. Andrew, appreciate the early morning time. Great note that you put out, packed full of data around bear markets, 95 years of data. The one point that stood out for me was the decade of the Depression had 14 bear markets, which is just terrifying. But the key point around bear markets is it kind of shows that actually, on average, a bear market every 4 years, and the oddity is not the bear market we find ourselves in now, which is 20% off the highs, but actually that the prior 13 years was just a go, go, go and upwards, and that really was the unusual thing.
Morning, Simon. Yes, I think investors have forgotten, I think, what it feels like to go through a bear market. We obviously had the short downturn in 2020 that lasted, I think, a month. But prior to that, we've got to go back to 2008. So we've got used to, I suppose, this low interest rate environment that prop markets up, and now, you know, suddenly we get this pullback, you know, which when you look back over history, I think it hit, you know, 23% down, I think was at the bottom, but it could still be lower. I think we sit around 18% and we refer to the S&P 500 here.
Yeah.
But now, you know, suddenly investors are, you know, I'm getting phone calls from people who aren't even our clients saying, you know, should we be selling? you know, and that just, I suppose, you know, highlights, you know, the degree of fear that this market bends, given that we haven't been through a bear market in such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if you came into the market post the 08-09 financial crisis, you don't know what a bear market is. I mean, it's us oldies who've got some experience there. I remember my grandfather talking around the decade of the 1930s. He was trading in bucket shops in Durban, and he would say, like, sometimes there would be weeks of everything going red every single day. You also pull the data, average duration about 316 days. We are a little halfway through that. average decline around 37%. We are down around 20. We're talking S&P here. It suggests we're probably on the data and on the average, we're kind of probably a little over halfway through this bear market. And truthfully, we might have some more downside, and it might go on for a bit. But this is not going to last forever, and we're probably closer to the end than the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're referring to averages here.
I think
we know that every market's different. You know, there are different factors at play. And if you think about, you know, the negative news flow that we've endured this year, it should be no surprise, you know, that we're still in this position. We've got inflation in years past, 40 years, rising interest rates, you know, war, supply chain issues, China lockdown. Now there's talk of potential recession. And interestingly, if you actually look back over 95 years, I think there's only one, I think two or three times, you know, have we had a bear market, a protracted bear market without a recession. Not saying, you know, the bear market caused a recession or vice versa, but typically the two go hand in hand. And obviously there's a lot of talk at the moment about recession. But, you know, what we know is that over time, you know, markets move higher. And I think this comes back to the point. And also if we look at, you know, the averages that we spoke to earlier, the average from the previous peak back to that peak is about 5 years. And I think this talks to the point that investing, particularly in growth assets like equities, this is a long-term game. You know, if you've got to have your strategy right, you know, and if you're in the market, you know, private investors can't make your exit. If your strategy is in place.
Yeah, that's just it. It is around the long term. And you also, the second graph you show is from 1927, which includes that decade of absolute horror markets. But if you had taken your investment in and reinvested the dividends, you've done a 9,000-fold increase. Now, you've also got to be 95 years old, which is a lot. But it shows that point that markets are volatile, but actually, you know, you stand out and you zoom out in the chart. Returns are real.
Yeah, I mean, that's an astonishing number when you think about it. I mean,
yeah,
if you put $1 million in the market 95 years ago, you'll be worth $9 billion today. Not many people live 95 years, and especially if you had $1 million 95 years ago. You know, so, but this is exactly it. You know, if you want to get to this, you know, the promised land that everyone, you know, that investors want to get to, you've got to be able to endure periods like this. You know, you can't fret when the market pulls down 20%. Rather, you should be actually looking at it as potential opportunity to get more exposure. But again, it comes back to the point of, you know, if you've got your investment strategy correct in terms of asset allocation being well diversified across different asset classes, you should be able to sleep fairly easily in times like this.
Yeah, and the other lesson is that when a child is born on their day of their birth, don't buy them presents, buy them shares, and they can keep them going. And ironically, my grandfather made it to 95, so he would have done it. But we'll leave that there. That's Andrew Ditburn, the Chief Investment Officer, Old Mutual Wealth Private Clients. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Wendy Myers. She's PSG Wealth's head of securities. Wendy, appreciate the time today. Talking inflation, locally in South Africa, it's above the band, but not too bad. But developed economies the world over are at 30, 40-year highs with inflation. There are a few sectors that actually manage to do okay during higher inflation times.
Yes. Thanks, Simon. Absolutely. So I think the energy sector has typically been a very robust sector when it comes to impacting, to withstanding the impacts of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
What we've seen is typically this sector has managed to outperform inflation about 71% of the time and has delivered an annualized real return. Obviously, annualized a real meaning after considering inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to have exposure to the sector. which is predominantly made up of oil and fuel companies. A further sector I think is also worth mentioning is the Real Estate Investment Trust, or REITs.
Yeah.
So typically this sector has outperformed inflation about 67% of the time. And the reason being is that these real estate companies can absorb the increase of inflation a lot better because they pass that on to their tenants through price increases.
Yeah, and also they've got that sneaky the net triple lease scenario. Staying with energy, I mean, do we still consider Sasol to be an energy stock?
Yes, I mean, Sasol's seen some immense volatility. You will remember in the early COVID times, yeah, it went down. I think it was almost 20-odd rand. So extreme volatility in that share price. It's come back up significantly. It had a few challenges, but we still very much favor Sasol. We believe in it for the long term. And I think what's also important is that when we talk investing, Simon, we do focus on the long term, yeah, for investing. We don't promote these quick in and quick out trading type ways of investing.
I take the point. I mean, there's a fine line between sort of chasing performance, and I appreciate we want performance in our portfolio, but I was making the point with the guest earlier in the week, you know, you've got to make two decisions, and it's, you know, when to buy, but then also when to exit the position. And it really is a case, we're in a sweet spot now for energy, and stocks like Sasol over the long term are going to benefit.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you. And I think, you know, it's also important we must look, you know, it's not so much those sectors that perform well in inflation. It's also being conscious of those sectors that are going to be hit through it and understanding how your portfolio is positioned and understanding what those short-term fluctuations are going to do to your portfolio.
And one of those sectors being hit is information tech. I mean, you know, if we look at sort of the high flyers of, well, pre-pandemic and truthfully post-pandemic, up until beginning of the year, was a lot of those big tech stocks. But IT stocks are going to find it perhaps a little harder.
Yes, they certainly are. I mean, we saw an amazing run in tech in the 2020, 2021 calendar years, and they've taken a big hit in 2022. And fundamentally, that's a direct result of inflation increasing. I mean, especially globally, you'll know that inflation going up, it's the first time in many years. Mm. So it's new to investors that have got offshore exposure. And I think they're battling to accept that the prices of 2021 are gone, and the 2022 prices are very different.
You mentioned the new part, and this is something that just occurred to me. I mean, you know, when you're doing an evaluation, and I'm thinking particularly the technical sort of discounted cash flows, DCFs, but even just generally, you're talking about future money. In a higher inflation slash higher interest rate environment, that future money is worth a little bit less, and that adjusts things, truthfully, downwards.
Exactly. And that's exactly what's happening and reflective in the share price. It's that discount factor.
Yeah.
Absolutely well said. Yeah.
And it is. I mean, a last point. I mean, you know, we mentioned the caution about chasing performance. This is a tough market out there right now. You mentioned the fact that for developed market investors, we're seeing inflation, interest rates for the first time in a long time. It's a tough place. And caution is frankly the watchword.
It absolutely is, and I think that's why at PSG we always promote a balanced, diversified portfolio and mm-hmm. making use of a financial advisor. I think, you know, they're experienced, they're able to talk you off the ledge when your portfolio isn't performing as expected. And it's important to have that stable approach, that ability to weather the storm, because like I said earlier, the long term is what we focus on when it comes to investing.
Yeah. And in fact, I had a guest yesterday who also said, you know, speak to professionals. There's nothing wrong with professionals.
Absolutely.
They know what they're doing. It's why they are the professionals. We'll leave it there. Wendy Mayers, PSG Wealth's Head of Securities. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. We're chatting with Andrew Smyth yesterday. He was the professional who said, speak to a professional. He's from NMG Benefits. Consumers under pressure, rising inflation, interest rates. We know all of that. The question on our poll was, how are your finances doing? Almost half of you saying, fortunately doing okay. And I sit in that space. I'm fortunately doing okay. A third of you are surviving with the rest and a small amount, but still a significant number who are finding it tough out there. Take Andrew's advice. Go speak to a financial advisor, not because because they're going to charge you money, but because maybe they can save you some money. As you said, there might be some deals out there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabokhle, Nicole Tetzo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.